Wednesday, January 9th, 2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the sunny suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com. During the program, email your questions or comments to spingola1@yahoo.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. I would like to read a paragraph or so from Behold a Pale Horse, and I found this information on page 224 to 225. And I quote, and this is by Bill Cooper, "I don't necessarily believe everything in the book, but certainly this is seems relevant to today's program and today's contemporary things that are going on." All right, from the book. "For many years, the secret government has been importing drugs and selling them to the people, mainly the poor and minorities. Social welfare programs were put into place to create a dependent, non-working element in our society. The government then began to remove these programs to force people into a criminal class that did not exist in the 50s and 60s. The government encouraged the manufacture and importation of military firearms for the criminals to use. This is intended to foster a feeling of insecurity, which would lead the American people to voluntarily disarm themselves by passing laws against firearms, using drugs and hypnosis on mental patients in a process called Orion. The CIA inculcated the desire in these people to open fire on schoolyards and thus inflame the anti-gun lobby. This plan is well underway and so far is working perfectly. The middle class is begging the government to do away with the Second Amendment." Unquote. My guest today is Michael T. Snyder. He is a contributor to the Activist Post, and their website is Activist Post, all one word, Activist Post. com. Michael's websites are the Economic Collapse blog.com and endoftheamericandream.com. Michael, welcome to the program. Is Michael on the phone? Do we have Michael?
Hello?
Yes, Michael, are you there? Michael, are you there? I'm not hearing him. Is he on a cell phone or a landline, or what's the deal here? Okay. All righty. We don't have Michael. Our board op, who is a miracle worker, will see what's going on and try and connect to him. One of the articles that I was reading that Michael wrote at the economiccollapseblog.com is, large cities all over America are degenerating into gang-infested war zones. And he wrote this article on January 6th of this year, and it kind of coincided with some emails that I received from a listener, a friend, in the St. Louis area. And he was talking about gangs and how there seems to be a lot of gang activities down around where he lives. And, of course, I think that we all, when we think of gangs, we, of course, I live in the Chicago area, and I know that there are certain cities in the Chicago area that I don't visit, or certain area. Yes. All righty. We are going to break. Hopefully, we will have our guests back on when we come back from the break. Stay tuned.
Introducing Michael Anthony's Private Stock Herbal Formulas, Infection Killer for all infections, viral, bacterial, fungal, parasitic. My Rapid Heal for all injuries enables the body to mend super fast. My System Toner, the Rejuvenator, tune-up for the entire body, head to toe, keeping it youthful, the mind positive and focused. Dragon Juice, the Revitalizer, pure power in a delicious drink. If your body's dragging, you need Dragon Juice. Lung formula for asthma and all lung afflictions, arthritis fix, great-tasting herbal teas, and more. Michael Anthony's private stock exclusive herbal formulas. To find out more, call 845-231-1094 or email Michael Anthony's private stock at yahoo.com. Michael Anthony's private stock exclusive herbal formulas.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt. And so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure.
Forget loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Michael T. Snyder. He is a contributor to the Activist Post, and his own websites are theeconomiccollapseblog.com and endoftheamericandream.com. Michael, are you there? Is Michael there? Okay. Alrighty, I don't hear Michael, so I'm sure that the board op is working on this situation. As I was telling you before we went to the break, there are areas in Chicago that are quite unsafe to go to. Now, when I was a representative for several fabric companies, I did have to call on big stores, and I also had smaller clients. And some of those clients were actually in very, very bad neighborhoods. Now, I didn't make a habit of going into those neighborhoods. I usually saw them at trade shows. But then I did make a call in a neighborhood one day, and the owner of the store, it was a fabric shop, and she sold all kinds of fabric and jewelry and that kind of thing. But anyway, she had me make the appointment early in the morning. And this was a black neighborhood. And there were bars on the windows. And she kept the door to the store locked. I got there at about 9 o'clock. I had to cover all of the items. I drove a van at that point in time, and I had to cover all of my suitcases and all of my samples and everything with a big blanket. And the reason that she had me come early is because she said that the gangbangers usually slept in till about noon, and so She had me come early so that she could see some of the things that she wanted to purchase from me. But I'm telling you, it was very scary. I had to keep looking out the door to make sure that my van was still secure. And I only went there one time. I figured, you know, the business, whatever business there is here, is simply not worth coming into this neighborhood and risking my life just to sell a few bolts of fabric. And so there were other times, of course, that I'd been in, because I traveled, that I would be on my way to St. Louis. I would, and of course you have to avoid going into neighborhoods, and you have to find out where those neighborhoods are if you travel in your job, because quite innocently you may happen to go into one of those neighborhoods without recognizing it. And the opening, the paragraph that I read from Behold a Pale Horse, I think is relevant. I think that this kind of activity where the government allowed the importation of drugs and allowed a group of people to have these drugs really created a program, an environment, a perfect storm environment where these poor people, minorities, would fall prey to these things, because poor people are always looking for a way to feel better. And of course, when they introduced social welfare programs, which put them into a place where they were completely dependent on the government, this created an element in our society that would change our society dramatically. Okay, is he ready? Is Michael ready?
No? Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Thank you.
Oh, good.
I appreciate you being on the program today, and I was looking at your article that you wrote on January 6th of this year. Large cities all over America are degenerating into gang-infested war zones. And this, wrote this at your blog, The Economic Collapse blog.com. And then you give several examples. Now, why did you happen to think about writing this? And you wrote about Chicago, Detroit, Camden, East New Jersey, St. Louis, New Orleans, and Oakland. So tell us what provoked you to write this.
Well, as I hear from my readers all over the country describe what is happening in their part of the nation, you know, this is a theme that keeps coming up. Keeps coming up again and again and again, and it's increasing, and we're seeing it more and more communities, and more in mid-sized communities and smaller communities, even rural communities. And what we've got in the United States today is a massive gang problem. You know, according to the FBI, there are now 1.4 million gang members living in the United States, and that number has increased by 40% just since 2009. So we're seeing this number just skyrocket here in recent years, and it's being fueled by a lot of trends. I mean, for example, one out of every three U.S. children lives in a home without a father. So we've seen the breakdown of the family. There's so many single-parent homes. You know, people are being raised by a single mother who has to go out and work all day because, you know, she has to earn a living for her children. So these kids don't have any parents at home, and then we've also got just waves of illegal immigration coming into the country, where we've got these young, especially young men, flooding in from Mexico and Central America, South America, through the southern border. They come in, into this country, they have no way to support themselves, but then they find these networks of gangs that already exist, which are more than willing to take them in and provide them a sense of community, but then it also gets them into trouble. Then a third factor is the exploding poverty in this country. I mean, if you go back to the year 2000, there were only 17 million Americans on food stamps. Today, there are more than 47 million Americans on food stamps. So we've seen this explosion of poverty, and people can't find jobs, especially in the inner cities, and so they have no way to support themselves, but then these criminal gangs, provide them a way, whether it's selling drugs or other types of crime, to be able to support themselves and to be able to, and it gives them a sense of purpose. But meanwhile, they're starting to take over communities all over the country, and people don't know what to do.
Right, and of course you have the massive outsourcing of production, and you mentioned Detroit. Detroit used to be one of the most productive cities in the entire country and had a lot of industry. And I have somebody that's very close to me that called me from Detroit yesterday and was appalled at what he saw. And, I mean, just appalled. And so this could happen anywhere. I mean, because Detroit was once a thriving metropolis with wonderful suburbs, wonderful buildings, wonderful homes, and now it is just a kind of a pit.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why I tend to write a lot about Detroit, because once upon a time, it was the envy of the entire globe. Everyone looked at Detroit and said, wow, what a beautiful city. It was packed with manufacturing. It supported a thriving middle class. But you look at it today, and, of course, manufacturing has left, you know, in waves over the past several decades. And at this point, today in Detroit, more than 50% of all children in Detroit are living in poverty, and close to 50% of all the adults living in the city are functionally illiterate. The high school graduation rate is down to about 25%, and there are more than 30,000 vacant homes in the city of Detroit. And so what this creates is an environment where these kind of gangs and criminal activity can just flourish. And that is what we've seen in Detroit. There, it's one of the cities in the United States and actually the world where, you know, it's one of the murder capitals of the world. You know, in 2012, there were over 400 murders in the city. And meanwhile, the number of police continues to be reduced in Detroit. Back in 2005, there were about 4,000 police officers in Detroit. Today, there are only about 2,500, and they're planning to cut about another 100 from the force soon. So things have gotten so bad that even the police, the Detroit police, are handing out flyers that say, enter Detroit at your own risk. So things have gotten really crazy in Detroit.
Wow, indeed. And it could happen anywhere. And that's the scary part of this, is that this could happen anywhere. And there are, as I was mentioning before you came on, there are places in the Chicago area that are similar to that, where there's no employment. And, of course, when people live in the inner cities and they don't have any transportation, they have to depend on public transportation to get anywhere, then and if that public transportation doesn't go to anywhere close to where there are jobs or production, then they're kind of just stuck in this, it's kind of a ghetto. It's a imposed ghetto. And I believe that I hate to say this, but it seems like the government contributed greatly to this, this cultural change. And it certainly has been a change in our whole culture. And as unemployment and the illegal immigration continue to skyrocket, it's going to get worse, not just in Detroit, but in other areas. And the government is not doing anything about it. That's the biggest issue here.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, the policies of the government are causing these things to happen, are providing an environment for these things to happen. And we should definitely talk about Chicago once we get back, because Chicago is a real good example of what we're seeing and how gangs are taking over all over America.
All righty. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Right now, food is everywhere. If you want it, you can buy it. For now. When the coming crisis occurs, how will you feed your family? Will healthy nutrition be available? The answer is probably no. Jeff Lawton will show you how to survive the coming crisis in an abundant way with permaculture. Jeff Lawton is a permaculture designer, teacher, and consultant who has shown people like you, people in 35 countries around the world, people who want to know what they can do to survive the crisis that they see approaching. There is an absolutely free video online that will help you discover how to survive by giving you step-by-step instructions in establishing food forests that will help you become survival confident. Log on to jefflawton.org right now. This free video will only be available for a limited time. That's jefflawton.org. jefflawton.org. Survival is not optional. Visit jefflawton.org today.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE and colloidal silver, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system, and fire piston, or just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today. Toll free 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Call now 800-537-1339.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendovite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendovite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Michael T. Snyder. That's S-N-Y-D-E-R. And his websites are The Economic CollapseBlog.com and EndOfTheAmericanDream.com. All righty, you were going to start talking about Chicago.
It's Barack Obama's home city, there's a lot of focus on it. But in many ways, Chicago is even worse than Detroit. And Chicago is another city where we've seen massive cuts to the police budget. Meanwhile, violent crime continues to get even worse. In fact, in 2012, the murder rate in Chicago was about 17% higher than it was in 2011. And during 2012, the number of murders in Chicago was roughly equivalent to the number of murders in the entire country of Japan. So we're talking about a tremendous amount of violence. In fact, Chicago is now being called the deadliest global city in mainstream newspapers all over the globe. And so what is causing this? Well, approximately 80% of all murders and shootings in the city of Chicago are gang-related. And at this point, it is estimated that there are 100,000 gang members living in the city. And to deal with them, there are only about 200 police officers assigned to Chicago's gang enforcement unit. So we've got 100,000 versus 200. So essentially, the police that are assigned to deal with these gangs are outnumbered 500-1. So when things really go down in this country and really hit the fan, Chicago could spiral out of control very, very easily because the police are massively outnumbered by these gangs.
Right. And a lot of the criminal activity activity comes out into the suburbs. People will come out here. In fact, I know someone that had a car stolen right out of their driveway. In fact, it was right out of their garage. And it turned out that it was somebody, a gang member, who had come out to the suburbs, and we're talking about 30 miles, and stole this car right out of their garage.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I said that this activity is really starting to spread rapidly. For example, the Justice Department's National Drug Intelligence Center back in 2006 said that Mexican drug cartels were actively operating in 50 different U.S. cities. Now, by 2010, they said that number had risen to 1,286. So we're just seeing an explosion. They're going into smaller communities, even into rural areas. And that's the reason why we're seeing a lot of Americans right now move away from the cities and try to move out to more rural communities. And that's what my wife have done. My wife and I, first we lived out in the Washington, D.C. area where I worked as an attorney. Then we moved over near Seattle. But now we live up over in Idaho in a very rural area. And we're very thankful for that because we see the kind of changes that are happening to our country, our society, and we feel safer and more comfortable in a much more rural environment.
I can't remember that guy's name that the FBI came after in Idaho. What was his name? Oh, goodness, it's been several years.
Are you talking about Ruby Ridge or
that situation, or is it something else? So don't go feeling too comfortable out there in Idaho. I think if they're going to get you, they'll track you. So, but anyway, I think you're probably right. There are no gangs out there.
Well, there are gangs in some of the cities up here, such as Spokane, is a big magnet for gangs, which is just over the border in Washington State. And there are gangs in Boise, Idaho, and just about every mid-sized, even small cities all over the United States, there's gang activity. But the key is, if you want to try to avoid that entirely, to get out into the rural areas. But there are millions of families that can't afford to move, or they're completely dependent on a job and they've got to stay where they are. For example, the city attorney of San Bernardino, California, recently told citizens living there to, quote, lock their doors and load their guns, unquote, because the police force in that city was being cut back again, and he was saying to citizens, hey, you're going to have to take care of yourselves because you're not going to be able to rely on the police. And that's happening in communities all over the country.
And so what do you make of the situation where, for instance, what happened at Sandy Hook and the move now by a lot of people in Congress to seize people's weapons, to confiscate guns?
Yeah, well, you just take a look at the city of Chicago. In Chicago, they have some of the strictest gun laws in the nation, and yet their number of gun murders and violent crime just continues to skyrocket. Now, why is that? It's because it's the law-abiding citizens that will turn in their guns. The criminals, the gangbangers, they aren't going to turn in their guns. They don't listen to the laws anyway. So banning assault weapons, banning guns, whatever they want to do, it's not going to work. In fact, all it does is it tells the criminals, hey, the targets you're going after are easier targets now because no one's going to be shooting back. So that's not going to solve anything. Now, all it's going to do is it's going to disarm us who just want to protect our homes and our families from these growing criminal gangs.
Right. All righty. We are going to a quick break. We will be back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Wouldn't you agree? Healthy people are happier and more productive. Obesity is the root cause of many health problems. Do you want to lose weight safely, look sexy and attractive without side effects and no chemicals? Lose weight without the side effects safely with Zeno's Organic Dietary Supplements. Made in the USA, 100% USDA certified organic. Visit www.zenos.com. That's www.zenohs.com. Try our products risk-free for a limited time offer. No purchase necessary. You only pay shipping and handling. Get your old, sexy body back now. Visit Zenos.com. Get your free supplements now. Visit Zenos.com right now. www.zenohs.com. That's www.zenohs.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
An effective, 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. HeartandBody.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Michael T. Snyder. He is a contributor to the Activist Post, and his websites are theeconomiccollapseblog.com and endoftheamericandream.com. Why do you suppose that somebody is trying to end the American dream? And who do you think they are?
Well, I think that it's been a process that has been going on for a number of decades, and a big reason for this is the globalization of the world economy. All of a sudden, American workers, which once upon a time just had to compete against one another for jobs, now they've been thrown into this global labor pool where all of a sudden they're competing for jobs with people making less than a dollar an hour with no benefits on the other side of the globe. So big corporations can say, well, hey, do I want to hire an American worker for $10 or $15 an hour and pay taxes and benefits and everything else? Or I can go over to the other side of the world where there are very few regulations. I can legally pay them slave labor wages with no benefits, and I can make bigger profits. And so what we're seeing is an evisceration of the middle class, where they're being destroyed, where they're being the middle class in the United States is systematically getting smaller. There aren't enough good jobs for all of us, so I liken it to a game of musical chairs, where when the music stops, you know, all of a sudden the number of jobs has decreased again, the number of middle class jobs, and people try to grab a seat, and some people find that they've lost their ticket to the middle class. And so we're seeing this year after year where, for example, median household income in the United States has fallen for 4 years in a row. The number of Americans on poverty continues to rise. For example, back in the 1970s, about one out of every 50 Americans was on food stamps. Today, one out of every 6.5 Americans is on food stamps. So we're seeing a fundamental transformation of this country, and the middle class is rapidly disappearing, and our politicians don't seem too concerned about it.
Well, I don't think that they represent us to begin with.
Oh, it's very true. Our politicians are wealthy people elected by other wealthy people to watch out for their interests. So, you know, politics in America today is almost all about money. It's who can raise the most money almost wins every election. And so, and who's going to fund their campaigns? The big banks, the corporations, wealthy individuals. So that's who our politicians are concerned about, who's going to give them money to win their next campaign. So, yeah, most of our politicians aren't really concerned about us at all.
Right. And, of course, the gangs, they are always associated usually with drugs, and that leads to violence. And you can certainly kind of compare that to what has happened in Mexico, where the gangs in Mexico have killed, what, 58,000 Mexicans and a lot of Americans? And then you have Fast and Furious, which was a program wherein wherein the government, I don't want to say our government, wherein the government supplied the Mexicans and some American gangs with automatic weapons and hand grenades.
Oh, absolutely. It's absolutely insane. And there are some people that believe that the government, the federal government, actually, this whole Fast and Furious thing was about making gun violence even worse so that they could bring in these gun restrictions and basically go after the Second Amendment, which, you know, of course, we're seeing now. You know, regardless of whatever their intentions were, you know, certainly these weapons which were provided in Fast and Furious have been shown to show up in different crimes, both in Mexico and in the United States. And actually the most dangerous city on the entire planet, people might think, well, it's in the Middle East, it's here or there, but it's actually just across the border in Mexico, just across the border from the United States, the city of Juarez, Mexico, a big city where lots of drugs were trafficked through. That's considered to be the most dangerous city for violent crime on the entire planet. So we've got this a massive problem, and yet the federal government continues to keep the border between us and Mexico basically wide open. They refuse to secure the border. They refuse to shut down this flow of illegal immigration. But it's destroying this country, not only with criminals and gangs and drugs, but then so many people want to come in here and to get benefits. And actually, the federal government has a website set up that teaches immigrants how, once they come into this country, how to apply for welfare benefits and make our debt problems and our welfare problems even worse.
Right. Now, do you think that this has anything whatsoever to do with the North American community, which was an agreement signed on March 23rd, 2005?
Well, yes, I do, but I think it's even part of a even broader agenda. The global elite, they want to bring the world together, and they want to start merging it into one political entity, one economic entity, and even one religious entity eventually. And so their whole philosophy is one world, globalization, bring everything together, of course, under their rule and under their supervision, but that's the whole philosophy. And so, you know, we've seen them starting to merge things on a regional basis. Over in Europe, we see the EU and the Eurozone and so forth. But here in North America, they realize that they've had a harder time, but that's what they want. They want to bring the United States, Canada, and Mexico together into a single economic unit eventually. And in fact, I think there will be another huge push toward this after the next wave of the economic crisis, which I believe is coming. I believe another financial crisis, another huge financial collapse is rapidly approaching, and I believe one of the solutions they will provide to that afterwards, they'll say, well, we've got to come together like Europe did. This is going to solve our problems, and they're going to really push this economic union between the United States, Canada, and Mexico.
Right. It already has happened, I believe. The paperwork is already in place, and it's just simply a matter of doing it logistically, which they're doing by leaving the border open.
Yeah, well, I believe that they'll take it to the next level, which I believe at some point they are going to push and try to push on the American people a North American currency, whether it's called the Amero or something else. Now, you know, they've held back on that for now, but I believe they're going to make another effort. Whether they'll be successful or not depends on us. And then I believe that there will also be this completely opening of the borders where we won't even guard our borders anymore between us and Mexico and us and Canada, but they'll consider it to be a North American security perimeter and totally change the way we even think about our borders. So I think we're going to see even more major changes, but I believe this is going to come after the next major financial collapse.
Right. They do this all incrementally with the various trade organizations, the NAFTA and the FTAA and CAFTA and all the rest. And it certainly functions particularly after warfare or after some crises. As Rahm Emanuel said, I can't quote him completely, but he said basically that they are always willing to exploit any kind of crises. It gives them an opportunity to do something that they could not have done without that crisis. And so, of course, as you mentioned, if they perpetrate another economic collapse of some sort, an economic crisis, then they will go ahead and complete their plans. And that's true with just about all of the tyrannical kinds of legislation that we've had. It took 9/11 to get Homeland Security imposed upon us, or the Department of Homeland Security, which was in fact presented to Bush, I believe, I can't remember which month, but it was in the spring of 2001. And it was created back in the 90s. So they're just always waiting for a crisis, even if they have to create one. And certainly, if we can believe what Cooper said and behold a pale horse, they planned this years and years and years and decades ago to create a class society, to create a society in which classes would fight each other and bring down the country. And, of course, then you mentioned all of the slave labor. And when I was in China in 2007, that country has a thriving economy. The big cities, which are quite safe, by the way, are just teeming with American manufacturers, with American stores. You can see Kentucky Fried Chicken, McDonald's, and all of those kinds of stores over there. You can see the great big companies, Motorola, who have big buildings with their name emblazoned on the side, and all of the building in just Beijing alone. Everywhere you look, there is a great big, what do they call those things that go way up in the sky? I'm at a loss for words here.
Skyscrapers?
No, they're skyscrapers are different, but the things, the big cranes, the cranes that they use to do all this building, just about everywhere you look in the city of Beijing, I mean, you can count maybe a dozen of them. And so things are really moving over there with all kinds of construction, whether you're talking the big cities or whether you're going down the Yangtze River, you're going to see something going on both sides of the river, just all over. Big dams going in, people being displaced from homes and areas where they've lived for generations, being displaced into other areas. So it is, as you say, a global situation.
Oh, absolutely, and it provides a stark contrast, because like you said, over in China, new factories, new buildings, beautiful new, entire beautiful new cities are going up. Meanwhile, in the United States, our infrastructure is being gutted. The businesses and manufacturing facilities are leaving. In fact, since 2001, more than 56,000 manufacturing facilities have shut down in the United States. And just in 2010 alone, an average of 23 manufacturing facilities shut down in the United States every single day. So our industry, our jobs, our businesses are being gutted. We're losing them. Meanwhile, in China, it's just exploding. So we're seeing this dramatic shift. And, you know, even things that you'd think only American workers can do are being done by Chinese companies here in the United States. For example, bridge projects all over the United States are being built by Chinese companies. The One World Trade Center is going up. And much of the materials are being provided by China. And then even the Martin Luther King Memorial, the new Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial on the downtown mall in Washington, D.C., was made in China by a Chinese artist. So, you know, we're seeing China, they're what we're doing is we're sending them our jobs and then we're sending them our money, you know. And then we go back to them and say, oh, can we please borrow the money we just sent you back so that we can pay our government bills? And so, you know, we owe them more than $1 trillion now. They're coming over here to the United States and buying up land. They're buying up real estate. They're buying up companies. You know, it's
and we hear nothing of this in the mainstream media.
Yeah, because they're so married to quote-unquote free trade agenda of the global elite, which is just essentially globalism. It's the one world economic system they want to put in. But labor is so much cheaper in China that it's really bad news for American workers. And so what we're seeing is a bleeding of jobs. For example, during the last recession, 60% of all the jobs that were lost were mid-wage jobs. But since then, 58% of the jobs that have been created since then have been low-wage jobs. So we're seeing the standard of living, we're seeing the wage scales go down in this country. We're seeing the number of low-wage jobs go up and the number of mid-wage jobs go down, because what's happening, our standard of living, our wages are decreasing as we merge with the rest of the world and their labor forces.
Right. And you also have a lot of insourcing of labor. You might think that you're talking to somebody in India on a tech call, and it'll be somebody that lives in Indiana and that they have just imported under a particular program to have these people come in and take jobs that they say Americans won't do.
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. And that's why we've seen the number of Americans living in poverty increase by more than 15 million since the turn of the century. And so, you know, families, you know, middle-class families, they're seeing their paychecks are staying the same or some, in a lot of cases, even going down. Meanwhile, the cost of living just keeps going up. So middle-class families are feeling more stretched than ever before. And, in fact, according to one survey, 77% of all Americans are living paycheck to paycheck at least part of the time. You know, people are families are having a harder time making it, and then we're seeing families go into more debt. And, you know, an emergency comes up, they can't pay for it, they've got to put it on their credit card or whatever the situation is. And if you go back to 1989, the debt-to-income ratio for the average American family was about 58%. Today, it is up to 154%. So, you know, the middle class is just being decimated, and yet our politicians just continue to pursue the exact same policies.
Right. And you feel, too, of course, that both parties serve the same masters, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Both political parties, no matter who we elect, things just seem to go the exact same way. And that's very frustrating toward the American people. But, you know, basically both parties are two wings of the establishment party. And, you know, they have minor disagreements that the mainstream media really plays up. But in general, they're taking us down the exact same road And, you know, whichever party is leading us, you know, we're headed for disaster.
Oh, absolutely. And certainly this has been so. I think that probably this started right after the so-called Civil War, because that war changed the structure of America, and it allowed corporatocracy to set in, and it also created debt slavery, and it is what Rothschild referred to as the European plan. And of course, we know that the same people created both capitalism and communism. And certainly during the 30s, which was right after 1929 and the disastrous crash of the stock market, we know that communism got a very, very strong hold within the government. We do have to go to a break in a second or two, and so we will pick this up in 3 minutes after we hear from our sponsors.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dry guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes 6 number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay, all the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species, all gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Michael T. Snyder. His websites are The Economic collapseblog.com and endoftheamericandream.com. And how do you see all the warfare? I mean, here we've got an economy that's collapsing. We've got infrastructure that has either been neglected or is in the process of being destroyed by roaming gangs in many large cities. And yet we have continuous warfare in the Middle East. Does this not look like seem like 1984? When the media is owned by a select few, and yet we've got these expensive wars going on in the Middle East. How do you what do you think about the wars?
Yeah, well, it's not only just the wars in the Middle East, but I saw an article the other day that said that U.S. military forces were going to be deployed to 35 different African nations in the upcoming year. Now, you know, we just can't be the police of the world. We can't afford this.
I don't think we're the police of the world. I think that since World War II and according to some documents that were set up before that war, the United States would be the main force, the military force, for plunder. And so we're not going over there to actually police countries. We're going over there to secure the resources so that they can be placed in a few hands.
Yeah, it's been a huge shift from, you know, early in the days of the United States. We tried to stay out of everybody else's business. You know, we had a philosophy of isolationism, but today we have this idea that we need to be in control of everything that's happening all over the globe, and we're using our military to, you know, bring that control and that what it's doing is not only bankrupting us to a large degree, but it's also causing these people all over the world to become very resentful of us. And so just a decade or two ago, you know, opinion polls around the world showed that the United States was one of the most loved nations on the entire planet. And today we're one of the most hated. And the many polls shows us that we are the most hated. And so something has fundamentally gone wrong. You know, we like to think of ourselves as the good guys, the ones bringing peace, the ones, you know, this or that or the other thing.
I think we have a difference of opinion here. I mean, when you're talking about that we were so isolationist, the United States set up a false flag so that they could invade Mexico, and we had the Mexican-American War. Then you had the secular half of the country, the one that was secularized and socialized, invade the agrarian part of the country, because they did invade, and the force that was served in the Union Army was from the failed revolutions, the failed socialist revolutions in Europe, and so they invaded. And then shortly after that, the United States military went after the indigenous population because they had land that was that had a lot of gold and a lot of other resources. And then you had the invasion of the American invasion of Hawaii, then you had the American invasion of the Philippines. So I don't know what you're talking about when you say that we were so isolationist. We do have to take a 60-second top of the hour break. We'll be right back.